as I stand before the throne, the accuser of the brethren starts to read the things I've done. As I hear the awful charges, the question fills my mind, why should I not be put in hell to suffer for all time? It's through the blood, that's all I have to plead. It's Jesus shed for me, not by works of mine own righteousness, for filthy rags are they, but because of that old rugged tree hanging on dark Calvary.
I'm walking through a valley and I feel there's no way out. When the winds of sorrow threaten me and they turn my world around, that's when I look to Jesus and the price he paid for me. Shout the victory. It's through the blood, that's all I have to plead. It's through the blood that Jesus shed for me, not by works of mine own righteousness, for filthy rags are they, but because of that old rugged tree hanging on dark Calvary, that is my only plea. It's through the blood.
Good to see y'all. I have a little bit of a Bible study for you tonight, so I'm going to ask you to turn to a few scriptures. Let's start with John chapter 4. Let's jump right in, if you don't mind. John chapter number 4, and I want to take you through a journey tonight and ask you to study with me. I hope that you'll study, but then I hope that you'll want to restudy. Sometimes the best messages that we get from the book are when we go, I'm going to go back and look at that again. And we ponder it, and we meditate on it, and God draws more out of it. Good to see you tonight. Thanks for your faithfulness. Love your church. Love what you do. And let's just honor God tonight. Everybody's tired. If you're not fatigued, you haven't been doing anything. Amen? But church is not the place to sleep. The world is run by tired people, and I'm glad to be one of them tonight. Amen. John chapter 4, let's go with it. Notice what it says in verse number 23. Verse 23. It says, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I hope the worship word does not get you all stirred up the wrong way. Let me say it again. I hope the word worship does not make you uncomfortable, because you didn't get uncomfortable because of the Bible. The word worship is all over the book. Come on, you still with me or not? Do not let what's going on out there take you away from a biblical word. The word worship was just used how many times in those two scriptures? And God says he's looking for true worshipers. Notice what he says. It's now is the time when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Brethren, if the Father is seeking something, I want to be in that category. You should also. And don't let anybody, because they're worshiping in a different way or worshiping in a way that you don't think is right, take you away from what you're supposed to be in your worship. Come on, are you still with me or not? If the word worship is not used around here once in a while, you're missing Bible words. Don't let anybody take worship out of Fundamental Baptist Church. I'll say that again. You see, some of you are uncomfortable with the word because you always hear it talked about in the wrong way. Come on, talk to me a little bit. It's in the book. We are supposed to worship. Worship, let me give you a definition. Extravagant love. Extravagant love. Based on extreme submission that causes monumental actions. Worship always has an action to it. Why are you quiet? You still comfortable, uncomfortable with the word? Come on, stay with me now. Extravagant love, first love, based on extreme submission, because worship and submission go hand in hand. That causes monumental actions. May I say to you tonight, I want to be a true worshiper. Amen. I want to show you a worshiper in the New Testament that God highlights in a very, very unusual way. But in order to do that, I need to show you something. Look at Luke 19. Luke 19 real quick. And follow with me Luke chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19, I know you already know this, but I want to make sure if you're new to the church that you understand it. Notice Luke 19 verse 11. Verse number 11, you're doing great. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem. He's coming to Jerusalem. Remember, this is the time he came in and rode a donkey, a little donkey, a little baby donkey, if you would, into the Jerusalem. And because, watch, they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So they thought when he came into Jerusalem that he was going to set up his kingdom. They did not think he was going to die. They did not know he was going to come into Jerusalem and that he was going to die. Even though he told them that numerous times, they didn't understand that. They thought he was coming to be king. They thought they were setting up his millennial reign. They thought that he was coming back, if you would, to take over. By the way, he's coming back to take over. But the first time he came to die as the lamb. Come on, would you agree with that? They were looking for the lion of the tribe of Judah. They missed the concept of the lamb. So they thought the immediate appearance of the kingdom was coming, and because they thought that, he spake a parable. But I want you to see something, would. Look at Luke 18. Look at Luke at number 18. In Luke number 18, and three times in the book of Luke, he tries to tell them what's about ready to happen. Look at verse 31. Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, to the 12, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man, Jesus, shall be accomplished. So he's talking to his 12. And here's what he tells them. He, the Son of Man himself, shall be delivered into the Gentiles, unto the Gentiles, Romans, shall be mocked, spitted, spitefully treated and spitted on. So he says, they're going to take me, and I know what you all are expecting. I know you think that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. You think I'm coming to be king, but I'm telling you, they're going to take me. I'm going to get delivered to the Gentiles, Romans. They're going to mock me. They're going to spitefully entreat me. They're going to spit on me. And they shall scourge him, speaking about himself, put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Now watch verse 34. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was what? Say it. Hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. So what was hid from them was that he was going to come in. You read that and you go, I get it. They didn't understand it. He took the 12 and he says, I'm going in. I'm going to be delivered to the Gentiles. They're going to mock me. They're going to spitefully entreat me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to scourge me, and they're going to put me to death. I'm going to die. And the third day, I'm going to rise again. And they understood none of those things. So he told them about his death, but they didn't understand and did not believe that he was going to die because they thought he was coming in to be king. They thought he was coming to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, with that all in mind, look, if you would, at Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Everybody all right tonight? Mark chapter 14. Stay right with me. Mark chapter 14. Here we get into, remember, we're seeking to study a true worshiper. Mark chapter 14. I want you to see verse number 3. Verse number 3. No doubt you've heard preaching on this, but I want you to see verse 3. It says, being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the lepers, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having a what? Say it. Alabaster box. Notice she's going to break that box, and she's going to do what she felt like she should do. And I want you to see, once that she did that, verse 4, there was great consternation, indignation, and they were all murmuring about her and what she did. But notice what Jesus did, and Jesus did this in verse number 6. Watch it. Jesus says, let her alone. Why trouble you? She hath wrought a, say it, good work on me, a good work. You have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but you have me not always. Notice verse 8, and I want you to focus on verse 8. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the what? Notice the word aforehand. She's coming before the fact, aforehand, to anoint my body to the burying. When you read that, it makes you think either she knew something or she didn't know exactly what she was doing, but she just came and dumped her alabaster box and anointed him. But Jesus said, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Please look up here. If she knew what she was doing, if she knew that she was coming in and anointing him before the burying, I want to ask you a question. How did she know about the burying? How did she know about his death? How did she know about the burying? Because he told the 12 about the burying, the death, and it was hid from them. If she knew what she was doing, how in the world did she know about the burying? How did she understand about the death? Either she knew exactly what she was doing, or she was doing what her heart told her, and she was right in what she did either way. Are you still with me or not?
Yes,
you say, well, I don't get it yet. All right, look at Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Stay right with me. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. This is Mary. And you know the story about Mary and Martha. But I want you to see something very carefully. Luke chapter 10. You're doing great tonight. Stay with me. Luke chapter 10. Notice verse 38, he enters into a certain town there. That's the town of Martha and Mary. And verse number 39, she's got a sister called Mary. And notice Mary did this. She sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. So here she is sitting in front of Jesus, sat at his feet, heard his word. And here's what, after all the conversation, what Martha talked about to Jesus, notice verse 42. We're going to focus in on Mary. Verse 42, Jesus said this, one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that, what? good part. And notice what it says next. Which shall not be taken away from her. Whatever Jesus taught her was needful. And whatever he taught her would never be taken away from her. I wonder what he taught her. I wonder what Jesus taught Mary. What do you mean? She's sitting there. It doesn't say anybody else but Mary and Martha in the house. I don't know if anybody else is in there or not. As far as what I can read, this is a personal audience. Martha's busy with a lot of different things going on, but Mary decides to sit down at Jesus' feet and hear what Jesus is going to teach her. And if I'm reading this right, I don't know if anybody else is in the room, but she's sitting down at his feet and Jesus is choosing the topic. And he teaches her something that he says is needful, and that whatever he taught Mary would never be taken away from her. How would you like to sit down and Jesus is the teacher and it's only you in the room and he chooses the topic? Don't you think he'd give something just for you? Let me say it again. If you were sitting and Jesus was only the one in the room and you were the only one there and he's choosing the topic, wouldn't you be all ears?
Yes, sir. Amen.
You say, I don't get what you're saying. He said, Mary has sat in front of me. I just taught her something that is needful. And what I taught her shall never be taken away from her. I'm wondering, what did he teach her? What was so important that Jesus gave that said it'll never, never be taken away from her? Stay with me. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, I want you to see something kind of interesting. John chapter 11. This is that same Mary, if you would. This is Mary of Martha. And notice John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, look at verse 1. Verse 1. You know the story. It was a certain man who was sick. We know who's going to die and be raised from the dead. Notice the certain man, his name is Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Notice something, though. God decides in verse number 11 to put something in parentheses. Look at verse 2 and notice it's in parentheses. When God puts something in parentheses, if you study your book well, when God puts something in parentheses, I want you to know something. You should really take note of it. When he puts something in parentheses, it's not because he didn't know what to write. He's trying to say, take note of what I'm about ready to tell you, because what I'm about ready to tell you is important. It may not fit the context of everything that's going on, but what I'm about ready to tell you is important. And look at John chapter 11. Look what he puts in parentheses. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, please look at that again. You say, what's the big deal about that? She hasn't done it yet. She doesn't do it till John chapter 12. We're going to see that in a moment. In fact, she hasn't done this yet in chronological context in the book of John. But he says, I want you to know something. It's that Mary, and here's what she's going to do. And please take note, it's that Mary who does this with the ointment and anoints his body, if you would, and wipes the feet with the anointment and with her hair. I want you to take note of what Mary's going to do. Don't miss what Mary's going to do, because it's important. So in John chapter 11, verse 2, it was that Mary, hasn't happened yet, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. You say, why did he put that in there? Chronologically, in the book of John, it hasn't happened yet, but listen to me, we've already read about it in Mark and Matthew and Luke. But he wants us to see chronologically, he wants to see, take emphasis of what Mary did. It's really, really important. So we know that Jesus stayed away until Lazarus died. And when Lazarus was dead, he went purposely, if you would. And I want you to know, please listen to me, Bethany is only about 9 miles away from Jerusalem. It's not that far. And everybody heard about Lazarus and knew Lazarus and knew Mary and Martha, a large group came over from Jerusalem. Notice verse 18. I said 9 miles. It's only about 2 miles. Verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. It's about a mile and a half, 2 miles. And I want you to notice, when Jesus comes, Mary, if you would, does not go out to see him. Verse 20. As soon as Jesus came, Martha heard, and so Martha went out, and Martha met him. But notice what Mary is doing. She's sitting still in the house. She does not go out to see him. First of all, this Mary sat at his feet, and Jesus taught her something specifically. I wonder what he taught her. When Lazarus dies and Jesus comes, Martha goes out, but Mary sits still. She doesn't go out. Don't read anything into that. Just notice in verse number 20, Mary sat still. Well, when Martha goes out to see him, I want you to see what Jesus said to Martha. Look at verse 28. Verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way, and watch, and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Look at it again. Martha comes back in and says, I talked to the Lord Jesus. The master is come. Jesus is come. And Mary, he wants to see you. He's calling for you. Follow with me. Mary sets at his feet and hears his word. Jesus teaches her something that is needful and never going to be taken away from her. Whatever he taught her will never be taken away from her. And then God highlights Mary, what she's going to do in that anointing, and highlights it in verse number 2 and puts it in parentheses. When Jesus comes, Martha runs out to see him. Mary just sits still in the house until Martha comes back and says, the master's come. Please look at me. And he wants to see you, Mary. I'll take you where he's at. Brother, I want to tell you something. If God came into town and said, I want to see you, it's pretty important. Out of all the people he could have called for, he called for the one that sat at his feet and heard his word. And he taught her something that was needful that would never be taken away from her. And when he came, she didn't run out to see him. She sat still. First she sat at his feet, and then she sat still in the house, and now he's called for her. Martha begins to lead Mary towards Jesus. Notice what happens. Stay with me, verse 31. Then the Jews, which were with her in the house, comforted her. She said that when they saw Mary rise up hastily, they followed her, and they said, she's going to the grave to weep there. Notice Martha leads Mary out to where Jesus is, and look at verse 32. Now when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, notice what she does this time. She fell down at his feet. She's in grief. She said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. So the first time she sits at his feet, then she sits still in the house, and then now God's showing us that she fell down at his feet. She's in great grief. Well, you know what's going to happen. Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. Mary and Martha are going to watch that whole thing. They're going to watch when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. They're going to watch their brother come out of the grave in his grave clothes, and they're going to hear him say, loose him and let him go. And you all know the preaching involved with those that come up out of the grave. Come on, is that right? The idea is Mary sees all that. And then the next thing that happens, we get back to the alabaster box. Look at John 12. Now stay with me, John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now Bethany was the town of Mary and Martha. Remember, it's 2 miles from Jerusalem, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Look at verse 2. There they made him a supper. By the way, we read in Mark 14, we'll go back in a moment, that they're at the house of Simon. There they made him a supper. Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Verse 3. Then Mary took, she takes a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Let's stop there for a moment. Remember in chapter 11, verse 2, God put in parentheses what Mary was going to do. I want to tell you, this is a significant act that Mary does. Remember, Jesus is going to tell them, we'll go to Mark 14 in a moment, that she did it aforehand to his burying. She goes in, she takes a pound of ointment of spikenard, notice very costly. She takes the alabaster box and breaks it open and begins to wipe his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Please listen to me. What you're observing is worship.
Amen.
You're observing worship. She's taking something very costly, and she's giving it all to the Lord.
Amen.
And the people around her do not understand what she's doing. But I want you to listen to me. She first of all sat at his feet. She heard something that he taught her, which was needful and would never be taken away from her. And then she sat still in the house until he called for her. Then she fell at his feet in grief about Lazarus. And now, please look, she's humbly down low enough to where her hair is touching his feet. She first sat at his feet. She sat still in the house till she called. She fell at his feet in grief when Lazarus is dead. And now she comes in taking something very costly and gets down real low and kneels down at his feet and begins to take her hair and take the ointment and begins to wipe his feet. And she's crying. She's crying. She's using tears mixed with the ointment to wash his feet. And God says, take note of that. Don't miss that. That's true worship. Stay with me. That's extravagant love based on extreme submission, causing monumental action. Let's understand something. The alabaster box was something very, very special in Jewish culture. Alabaster is like a white marble. That's what alabaster stone is. If you know what white marble is, that's what an alabaster looks like. That's the alabaster stone. And what they would do in those days, this alabaster box was something you saved. It was maybe something given to you. It was something that was very, very precious, if you would. A spikenard was an odor that everybody in Jewish culture knew about. In fact, you can still go to Jerusalem, and they have spikenard over there. You can see it in liquid form. But the more costly spikenard, the real potent spikenard, is like a gummy substance. It's concentrated. And there's a certain odor to it. And this spikenard, if you would, a pound of it. It didn't say a liquid measure. It said a solid substance. It was a pound of spikenard. It was extremely potent. It was concentrated. And she bought a pound of spikenard, and then they put it in this alabaster box. Now, the alabaster box, four sides sealed with wax. A bottom sealed with wax in the four sides. Usually, it would be on a little stand because it was going to set in a prominent place. Then they would take the top and make something really ornate, like very fancy. And they'd put that spikenard in there and then seal all these different sides, the bottom and this really fancy top, with wax so the odor would not come out. And it would sit in a prominent place, and they would save it for something very, very special, like a wedding day or a burial. Everybody in the Jewish culture knew what an alabaster box was. This particular box, if you read carefully, look at it, stay with me. It says that verse number 5, they said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? and given to the poor. Brethren, a day's wages was a pence. 1 pence, 1 day's wages. So 300 pence would basically equal almost a year's worth of work. This box was worth almost a year's salary. Come on, are you still with me or not? It was very important, very prominent, usually saved for a very, very, very special occasion, like a wedding or a burial of somebody really, really important. And that box would sit there in a prominent place in the house, and nobody would touch it. The children all knew not to touch it. Everybody knew it was a special thing that only the owner of that could use it for. I don't know where Mary got hers. I don't know if it was given to her as a gift. It doesn't say. But this box was very, very special. And please look up here. Normally, a person only had one of them. When you break the box, please listen. When you break the box, you can't just pour a little bit of it out and then seal it with a cap. It's not that way. When you break the box, you break the wax seal, and it had to be used in its entirety. Are you still with me or not? You don't just unscrew the cap and pour some out and then screw it back in. This box, when you broke the seal, you had to use the whole thing. It was an all or nothing type of alabaster box where once you broke it, then you were going to use all of it up for whatever that purpose was. So it was total commitment once you broke it. She came in. All the apostles are sitting there. Lazarus is sitting at the table. Usually in these big feasts or the fellowships or the big dinners, the men would sit in one section, the women would sit in another. Well, she's in the place where the men are all sitting. All the apostles are there. Jesus is there. No doubt there's prominent men in there from Jerusalem, which is only 2 miles away if you read it carefully, and from Bethany. And Lazarus was sitting there. Brethren, look up here. If there was a party thrown and somebody said, you know what? Lazarus is going to be there. You hear that? You hear about that guy that was raised from the dead? He was in the ground in that cave. They knew he was dead. He's in there a couple, 3 days. Even Martha said he stinketh. He'd been in there 4 days. And may I say to you, when they rolled that stone away and he got up, they knew he was dead. But now he wasn't. If they were having a little fellowship and a supper and they said Lazarus is going to be there, wouldn't you want to go and see the guy raised from the dead? Lazarus was sitting there. But how about if I told you not only is Lazarus going to be there, but the guy that raised him from the dead is going to be there? I'd go. Wouldn't you? Man, let's go see what this is all about. There was a lot of prominent people there that night, and she comes in, and right in the middle of all these men, she doesn't ask anybody's permission. She just walks in with her alabaster box. Everybody knew what an alabaster box was. And she didn't ask anybody's permission. She didn't say anything. She didn't, no words, nothing. She just came in and broke it and began to kneel down. And with that very gummy, potent, beautiful, pungent odor, she takes her hair, takes the spikenard, begins to put it in her hair, and with her tears, she begins to wash his feet. Brother, listen to me. The odor filled the house, and everybody knew that something special was going on. The odor signified something special. Come on, you still with me or not? This odor filled the house. People not even in the room, in other rooms, smelled it. And they wondered what was going on. They knew something special had happened. The people at the table didn't understand. You say, what do you mean they didn't understand? They murmured against her. They murmured against her. One of them says, Judas says, why wasn't this sold? Verse number 4. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Well, he was a thief and wanted the money. Don't get stuck on that. And notice what verse number 7 says. Jesus quiets everybody down that's murmuring. And says, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she kept this Against the day of my burying has she kept this. Please look at me. I wonder if she knew about the burying. What do you mean? Nobody else knew about the burial. What do you mean nobody else knew? He told them, but they didn't understand. They thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. She knew something evidently about his burying, and she kept that box. Look what it says. I'm just reading what it says. The Bible says, let her alone against the day of my burying. Has she kept this? He's talking about the alabaster box. I wonder if Mary knew about the burying. I wonder if she understood it. Please look at me. Usually understanding precedes worship. I'm going to say that again. Usually understanding precedes worship. I'm going to say it one more time. Usually understanding precedes great sacrifice. What do you mean? When she was down there, she wasn't worried how much it cost. She knew how much it cost. She knew it was worth a year's wages. She knew that. It says she had kept it against his burying, and when she was kneeling down there, whether she understood it or not, I'm not totally sure. But stay with me, the message is not over with. But she wasn't worried about all the critics. These were the apostles that went out and preached. These were those that understood a lot. But one thing they didn't understand, they didn't understand his burying. He told them three times about his death, his burial, and resurrection. In fact, Peter one time rebuked him and said, it's not going to be that way. Yeah. Come on, is that right? Yeah. That's when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah. It was because their lack of understanding. Yes, sir. He told them, but they thought, they just knew he was going into Jerusalem to become the King of Kings, the Messiah. Oh, he'll come back and do that. Yes, but he first had to do it as the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And they missed that. Come on, is that right?
That's right?
So there she is, kneeled down, wiping his feet with her hair. And may I say something? Please listen to me. The lowest servant of the house would be the one to clean the feet. Come on, is that right? She wasn't just cleaning his feet. She was anointing him.
Amen.
She was anointing him. You say, what are you talking about? Jewish custom again. Jewish custom. Listen to me. The ladies would go down after the burial, after the person was buried, and they would come and anoint the dead body out of honor and respect and esteem. It was a culture, tradition, that the ladies would come and make sure that that body was properly honored and esteemed highly. And the ladies would do that. It was part of their culture to go and anoint. Come on, are you still with me? And he said, she hath done this before my burial. They understood what the ladies normally did. And he said, and they understood what he said, he said, she's done what women do in our culture, but she's done it before my burial. She's taking something precious to her that normally is used in a burial. It's very costly. It's a way of honor, a way of esteem, and she's doing it right now while I'm still alive. Go back to Mark 14. Stay right with me. Everybody still all right? Stay with me. Mark chapter 14. She was worshiping him. Mark chapter 14. Worship. Worship. Mark 14. Extravagant love that is based on extreme submission that causes monumental actions and sacrifice. Please look. You're in Mark 14. Here's extravagant love. The basis of what she's doing is because she loves the Lord. And she's submitted, and she's down there with her hair, and she's crying. And she's using the tears and the ointment, and she's doing it. And the Bible says she did it aforehand to commemorate his burial And I'm asking you, how did she know about his death? It makes me wonder what Jesus taught her. Huh? All I know is it says this, one thing is needful, and Mary just got taught something that shall never be taken away from her. Look at Mark 14. Stay with me. Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, read it carefully with me. In verse 3, you see the alabaster box. Verse 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. Within themselves. So here are the apostles sitting at the table. Indignation. Please listen. Indignation. Disgustful anger. Indignation. Not just anger, but disgusting anger. They were sitting there watching what she was doing, and they were disgusted with her within themselves. Indignation. And here's what they said. They're murmuring, and they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? They're thinking it was wasted, and Jesus is looking at it as worship. By the way, I need to make a simple little statement to you. Listen to me. Jesus didn't pull his feet back and say, stop that. Let me say that to you again. Jesus did not pull his feet back and say, stop that. He kept his feet right there, and he never stopped her. I'm going to say it again. He didn't look at it as a waste. He looked at it as worship. She was sacrificing what she had. Because once you break the box, you break the whole thing. And you use it all. You don't pour a little bit of it out. The odor filled the house. What odor was it? It was worship odor. It was esteem odor. It was honoring odor. What do you mean odor? There's a type of praise that's odor. It's in the book of Revelation. You still with me? In the incense in the Old Testament, there was a sweet odor. He smelled that odor, and it wasn't waste. It was worship. It was sacrifice. It was love. It was pure. She was doing what she could with all she had. I'll say it again. He said, she's done what she could. She's taken everything she had and just did it aforehand to my burial. And they're saying, why was this waste? Look what's said. Stay with me. He says this. He says, they murmured against her. Look, verse 5. And it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, more than a year's wages, a pence a day, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Don't you think that quieted the room down? Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a, say it, good work on me. And then he says this, ye have the poor with you always. I mean, you can give to the poor anytime you want. I'm not saying don't give to the poor, but you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But then he said this, but me, you have not always. They didn't understand that. You know what he just said? She had an opportunity. And she took it. I'll say that again. You got the poor with you always. I'm not saying don't give to the poor. He didn't say that. He just said you always got the poor with you. But me? You're not going to have me with you always. You know what she did? Took advantage of what was in her heart in a timely way. Because there wasn't much time left. He was getting ready to head into Jerusalem. When did this happen? 6 days before he was heading in to get on a donkey and be killed and rise again from the dead? You say, I don't get what you're saying. We only get so much opportunity. And she took advantage of her opportunity. You say, why? When the women went to the grave, what do you mean when the women went to the grave? When the women went to the grave, he wasn't there. Missed opportunity. Sorry, you're too late. You still with me or not? She wasn't going to be too late. So she decided to do it aforehand. I wonder what she knew. Huh? People that understand do unusual things. When God shows people something, they do unusual things that other people don't understand. People don't understand you as a church. What do you mean? You keep building that building. You keep building that building. You keep building that building. Why don't you just give up? It's part of your worship.
Come on. Amen.
Yes, sir. Huh? It's part of your worship. Everybody else doesn't need to understand as long as you do.
Yep.
What do you mean? If God told you to build the building, he didn't rescind the order. What do you mean? I don't care what happened. He knew, look at me, he knew before you started this building project what would happen.
Yes,
let me say that again. He already knew what was going to happen. You all didn't.
Yeah.
Will you stay worshiping? Huh? He already knew when he gave the order to build this building. He knew what was going to happen, but he didn't tell you. Are you going to give up because people murmur against you a little bit? Why are y'all still building that building? I'm still building that building. Wonder how many people have left this church on that building, that building, that building. Those of you who understand will stay at it.
Amen.
I'll say that again. Those of you who understand will stay at it.
Yes,
those of you that are given some insight he gave us to do, we're going to finish it.
Amen.
Why did we start it? Why did Moses go down and say, let my people go, and then God took the straw away? I said, God took the straw away. And Moses went back to God and said, Lord, you said this was going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. It hasn't happened that way at all. It's because God wasn't done yet. I'll say it again. God wasn't done yet. When the straw is taken away, it's a test of our worship. It's a test of our resolve. See, you're being tested right now. And who cares about what anybody else says? And I don't know what they're saying. I'm glad you're building the building.
Amen.
You say it's been put on hold. I know, and God knew that.
Yep.
You say, well, we've made mistakes. God's fine with what you've done.
Yep.
I'll say it again. God's fine with what you've done. How do you know he didn't design this whole thing? How do you know he's still not orchestrating it? How do you know he's just waiting to let somebody else in on the worship? I know some of y'all have been at it for a while and you get tired of hearing about the building, hearing about the building, hearing about the building. I wonder if you've got an alabaster box that he's waiting for you to break. I'll say it again. I wonder if he's waiting for you to break your alabaster box. Even though people sitting are murmuring and saying, why was this waste made? And the Lord didn't pull his feet back. He didn't look at his waste. He looked at it as worship. I wonder what he taught her. I know this, whatever he taught her, he said, Martha, one thing's needful, and Mary hath chosen that good thing, which shall never be taken away from her. Shall never be taken away from her. Let me say it again. Shall never be taken away from her. Please look at something. I have an opinion based on this. Stay with me. Verse 6, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She's wrought a good work. You got the poor with you always. Me, verse 7, I'm not always going to be here. Look at verse 8. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily, anytime he says verily, take note of it. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So wherever the gospel has been preached since that day, somebody has preached about the alabaster box woman named Mary.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Throughout the whole world, throughout all the ages, wherever the gospel's preached, somebody was led of the Holy Spirit to speak about the woman with the alabaster box.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Wherever the gospel is preached, they will speak of what she did as a memorial to her. And that will never be taken away from her. What's never going to be taken away? Her actions, based on her understanding. I wonder what he taught her when she sat at his feet. It was one thing that was needful for her, and it would never be taken away from her. I wonder if it caused the action that would be a memorial to her, that wherever the gospel is preached, Thailand, China, Russia, South America, Baltimore, Pacific Baptist, throughout all the ages, somebody's going to talk about what that woman did, because the Holy Ghost is going to lead them to do that.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Come on, you still with me or not? I think what she did was pretty important.
Yes.
He put it in parentheses before she did it. Chapter 11, verse 2.
Yes.
What is it? What did she do? Total sacrifice. Not worried about what anybody thought. They're murmuring. It could have been sold for over 300 pence, given to the poor. Murmuring with indignation. All the men in there. She didn't care about what they thought. This was between her and the Lord. I wonder if it was based on some understanding. Some of you are going to go away from this night and go, I don't even know what he talked about tonight. I didn't get the whole thing. Others of you, it will dawn on you by the Holy Ghost what this is all about.
Yes, sir.
It's true worship. It's true worship. And she did something with understanding that the men at the table did not understand. And she was not worried about their understanding. She did it unto one that understood, who didn't pull his feet back.
Yep.
He knew what she was doing, and he said, you don't know this, sister, but you're going to be spoken of around the world throughout all the ages. She didn't do it for that reason. She did it because she loved him.
That's right. Amen.
You keep building the building because you love him.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about the murmurs within the congregation. Or without.
Yep.
Don't worry about the city. They'll get it sooner or later.
Yep.
You say, well, I just wish they'd give you the favor. They're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
God knows all that. Why don't you believe for a moment?
Come on.
Believe that you're still in God's will.
Yes, sir.
Or are you going to sit at the table and murmur? Are you going to sit at the table and murmur? Or are you going to go, no, I think she's doing something right there. Some murmur because they don't understand. What's your point? Okay, here's the point. Look at the last chapter of the book of Mark. Last chapter. And just before we get to chapter 16, look at the end of verse 15, chapter 15. And notice what happens. Look at verse 45. I'm almost done. Everybody still all right? Are you getting this or not? Is it making any sense? I'm okay if you're not saying amen if you're thinking. If you're thinking and going, well, I don't know if she knew or not. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Someone may go out of here and go, she didn't know. I have a personal opinion, but it's just based on opinion. What do you mean? I'm thinking he might have taught her something that she got. What do you mean? I wonder if he taught her. I just wonder. I can't prove it. I wonder if he taught her about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I can't prove that. I can't prove it. But you can't prove he didn't. You say, well, what do you base it on? That he said one thing is needful. And what I gave her shall never be taken away from her. And that memorial that she did, if that's what he taught her, was never going to be taken away from her, was going to be spoken of throughout all the world, wherever the gospel is preached. I may be wrong. I might be wrong. I might be wrong. I might be wrong. But that's worship.
Amen.
And God's seeking true worshipers that don't do it for show. They don't do it for show. They sacrifice in a submitted way not to be seen. They just want to tell the Lord, I love you. Oh, by the way, she did it aforehand. What do you mean aforehand? She did it before I died, before I rose again from the dead. Because in Matthew chapter 15, look at it. Look at verse 45. Joseph of Arimathea shows up in verse 45, goes to the centurion, asks for the body. He took that body down, Joseph did, and he wrapped it in linen, and he laid it in a sepulcher, which he was hewn out of the rock. You know, it was his own a grave he had hewn out. By the way, there was another man there that night. It doesn't depict it here. That other man that went with him that night was Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus brought the spice and the ointment that night. What do you mean? Joseph of Arimathea got the body, but if you read another chapter in the Bible, in another gospel, Joseph and Nicodemus brought the spices that night and anointed the Lord's body, and then they put it in the grave and sealed it. Or you know who was watching? Verse 47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. They saw him where they laid him. Yep. Chapter 16. Look up here. The next day was a high day. You weren't allowed to do anything. Then the first day of the week, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, that high day, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. That was what ladies did. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher, the graveside at the rising of the sun. Right when the sun came up, they were there. They said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone? They knew right where he's at, because verse 47 of chapter 15 said they watched him get laid in there. Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? When they came, they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away. It was very great. The stone's already moved. Watch. Entering in, they come into the grave, and they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in a long white garment. They were afraid. And he said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Please look up here. The ladies were too late. To do what? To anoint him. Please listen. You know who didn't show up that day?
Mary.
Mary didn't go with him. She already got hers done.
Yep, good.
She didn't get up early in the morning to go anoint him. The poor you have with you always, she hath done this aforehand. You see, you don't have me always. You know what you're saying? I'm leaving.
Yep.
So Mary got it done aforehand. She took advantage of what she understood, what she knew. Or maybe she didn't know. Or maybe she did. But Jesus knew. Mary didn't show up to anoint the Lord. She had already done it. By the way, they were well-meaning when they showed up, but he was already gone. Up from the grave he arose. Easter's just around the corner, isn't it?
Yes,
Resurrection Sunday. Whether you call it Easter or not, you say, that's Ishtar. Don't call it that. All right, I know the whole deal. I don't believe in the bunny rabbits and the eggs and Ishtar and all that. Come on. But Easter's in the book. You say it's a misprint. Oh, God doesn't misprint. Resurrection Sunday. He gets up. He already got anointed by one who broke her alabaster box, and the odor filled the house. And everybody wondered what was going on. And the guys at the table said, why was a waste of this substance made? And to the Lord, it was not a waste. It was worship. You know that building out there? It's not a waste.
Amen.
Wait till it's completed.
Yep.
You say, why do you keep thinking it's going to get completed? Because it will.
Because
yep. Those that are true worshipers will continue to do the job.
Yes, sir.
Based on sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
and extreme submission. It's just a matter of whether you will take the opportunity or not. I'll say it again. It's whether you take the opportunity or not. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Brethren, I want to tell you something. Some people left, and if that's what God wanted to do, that's fine. But some people left and missed their opportunity.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to say it again.
Yes, sir.
You see, I can say that because I don't know who stayed and I don't know who left. But I was over at the building banquets with you.
Yep.
I think I was at every one. The one you used to have in the hotel?
Yes,
I thought it was neat. The only thing that was difficult was the parking, but you had that figured out.
Yep.
I remember a rainy night. People showing up excited. A group in that room, another group in that room, another group in that room. I think they were speaking Chinese in that room. I don't know. And Spanish in that room and English in that room. I don't know. But they were all giving money, having a good time, and then had something for the kids. Do I have that right? Do I remember that right? I mean, I wasn't dreaming of that, wasn't I? I was there, wasn't I? Wasn't everybody excited?
Amen.
We just didn't know what would happen to Pastor Joe at that time. But God already knew. We just didn't know. That doesn't stop the worship. Please look up here. Ladies, hair is really important, guys. Huh? Why are you saying that? You see my hair? It's not important. Aren't you really frustrated when you wake up and you don't have hair and it's gray? No, I don't care. When I wake up in the morning, it's sticking straight up and I just go, and it all lays down. Does hair bother you? No, it doesn't bother you. But ladies' hair is real important. And she took her hair and put that gummy substance in it, that spikenard, that worship. And she kneeled down and wiped his feet, and it was anointed with tears. I wonder what she was crying about. I'll say it again. I wonder what she was crying about. She had already seen Lazarus raised from the dead. Please look up here. I'll guarantee if you see somebody rise from the dead, you'd believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you were told, I'm going to come and I'm going to die and on the third day I'm going to rise again, it may have not all shaped in there, but when you saw that stone roll away and Lazarus come forth, I wonder if that was a teaching lesson. Wouldn't you go, huh, I thought that was going to happen in the resurrection. I didn't know he could do it now.
Yep.
You still with me or not?
Yes, sir.
But she took her hair and anointed. She didn't care what her hair smelled like. Please look up here. When she walked out of the house, she smelled like spikenard. I wonder how many days she smelled like spikenard. I wonder how many days she smelled like worship. You say, why do you keep saying that? Because it was a worshipful odor.
That's right.
It was incense. It was praise. It was adoration. It was extravagant love based on extreme submission that produces monumental actions of sacrifice. And that's what missions giving is. That's what church giving is. That's what a building program is. It's giving over and above,
yes,
in a worshipful way that others can receive benefits. But some will murmur. Some will complain. And some will say, why was this waste? And God didn't view it as waste. He viewed it as what? Say it. Worship. Say it again.
Worship.
One more time.
Worship.
Some of you are afraid of that word. You know why? Some charismatics has ruined it for you. God didn't ruin it to you. The charismatics did. God didn't ruin that word. It's in the book. John 4, verses 3 and 4. Worship, 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 true worshipers. She got it done. Brother, look up here. Don't wait till it's too late. You only get a moment. What do you mean a moment? In your life, you get a moment compared to eternity. You get a vapor. I think you're coming up again to maybe talk about building again in a little bit. You say, when? I don't know, whenever it's going to happen. You say, when are we going to hear? You'll hear. When? When it's God's time.
Yep.
Whatever you do, don't murmur. I know what humans, we just don't like to be patient and wait. But God's looking at it and going, oh, no, he's not. He's not looking at a watch. Come on, you still with me? He's not saying, oh, they're late down there. Nothing's late. It's all the way he wants it. If he would do one of you all the way to be in that building, it could have happened.
Yep.
You say, then why did we start? Because you were led to by Pastor Joe.
Yep.
I was here. I sat up in his office when he was planning this thing. He told me his plan. He told me his financial. He told him and Johnny, and they told me about what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. You say it didn't work out that way. It's working out the way God wants it to work out.
Right. Amen.
It's an opportunity for you. Whatever you do, when it's time, don't keep the alabaster box to yourself.
Amen.
Break it. Oh, you say, what's the alabaster box? Please look up here and listen. I'll be done. One day God told Abraham to take his son up and sacrifice him.
Yep.
It was an alabaster box. Huh? Very precious. I'll say it again. Very precious.
Right.
Yeah, but he knew God could raise him from the dead, Hebrews 11. I know, but he was still planning on killing and breaking the box. Still with me?
Yeah.
It was his only son. What about Ishmael? God said, take your son, your only son. And one day, God told Moses, it's time for you to go deliver your brethren in the book of Acts. And Moses said, I'm no longer to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
And he broke his alabaster box. One day on the road to Damascus, Paul said, I'm not a Pharisee anymore.
Yeah.
I left my mother's womb. I'm done with that. It was an alabaster box. Alabaster box comes in many different shapes and forms. It's sacrificing what you love.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's sacrificing what you have and what you love, even sometimes culturally. Those that go to the mission field break the box.
Yep.
But back here, we got to keep the box broken to keep them supported. Did I read the name on your church building right? Did it say Judson?
Yep.
Is that the same Judson I know? I thought so. Judson broke his box.
Yep.
What do you mean? What's the box? It comes in different ways, shapes, and forms. Mine was God wanted me out of the Marine Corps. Huh? Yeah, I loved it. I loved the Marine Corps. But one day God said, I want you out. I wasn't planning on getting out. So he helped me. Say, how'd he help you? Knee surgery, never supposed to walk again without a cane or a limp. And then I got steel in my heel, and they said, we're going to medically retire you. You can never jump from an airplane again. So you can't be in special forces anymore, so we're retiring you. When I drove away, a long road down at Parris Island, South Carolina, I cried all the way. It was one of my alabaster boxes that he broke for me. Huh? You're supposed to do it on a voluntary basis. Some it's volunteer, some it's assisted.
Come on, amen.
He assists us.
Yes.
Did you get the message tonight?
Yes, sir.
Let me leave you one last thought. I wonder what he taught her that was so important that would never be taken away from her. We'll find out later. But speculating, it was something really, really important that she loved that he wanted her to give up freely. Pastor, can I just turn it over to you? You know your church.